This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is being cheerful during bad times, part two. My scripture is Acts 23, 1 through 13. My text is Acts 23, 11, which states, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also in Rome." The Pharisees were correct in the faith of the Jewish church. The Sadducees were no friends to the scripture or divine revelation. They denied a future state. They had neither hope of eternal happiness nor dread of eternal misery. When called in question for his being a Christian, Paul might truly say he was called in question for the hope of the resurrection of the dead. It was justifiable in him by this profession of his opinion on that disputed point to draw off the Pharisees from persecuting him and to lead them to protect him from this unlawful violence. How easily can God defend his own cause? Though the Jews seem to be perfectly agreed in their conspiracy against religion, yet they were influenced by very different motives. There is no true friendship among the wicked. And in a moment, and with the utmost ease, God can turn their union into open hatred. At this point, Paul's life was in danger. The chief captain brought him to the castle for safety. "Whoever is against us, we need not fear if the Lord stand by us. It is the will of Christ that these servants who are faithful should be always cheerful." Paul might think he should never see Rome, but that night, the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Be of good cheer. Just like you testified of me in Jerusalem, I want you to bear witness of me also in Rome." Paul had been miraculously delivered from jail cells before, but this time the Lord met him right in the jail cell. We often demand that Jesus deliver us out of our circumstances when he wants to meet us right in them. We sometimes think we are surrendering to Jesus when we are really on demanding an escape. God wants to meet us in whatever we face at the moment. Be of good cheer, Paul. Jesus was not only with Paul, he gave him words of comfort. The words of "be of good cheer" tells us that the night brought with it an emotional and perhaps spiritual darkness upon Paul. Jesus was there to cheer his faithful servant after he had spent himself for Jesus' sake. Jesus would not have said, "Be of good cheer," unless Paul needed to hear those words. Paul knew his situation was bad, but he did not know the half of it. The next day, 40 Jewish assassins would gather together and vow to go on a hunger strike until they murdered Paul. Paul did not know this would happen, but Jesus did. Yet, he still could say to Paul, "Be of good cheer." You might think that things are bad right now, but you may not even know the half of it. But Jesus knows, and he still says to you, "Be of good cheer." Why? Not because everything is fine, but because God is still on his throne, and he still holds to his promise that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Anyone can be of good cheer when everything is great, but the Christian can be of good cheer when everything is rotten, knowing that God is mighty and wonderful no matter what the crisis of the moment. Although Paul had bad experiences in Jerusalem, he was not the only one who had had bad experiences in Jerusalem. Jesus could tell Paul, "I know what you are going through. When I was in Jerusalem, they beat me. They lied on me. They shouted and praised me. But later, they shouted, 'Crucify him.' I was hung between two criminals. I was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, I got up from the grave with all powers in my hands." Jesus remembered what Paul had done in Jerusalem and told Paul that there remained more work for him to do in Rome. Paul could have been discouraged about the lack of results from the sermon in Jerusalem, but the results were not his responsibility. His responsibility was to bring the word of God and to testify of Jesus. The results were God's responsibility. "You have testified of me in Rome," mean that Jesus complimented Paul on a job well done. Yet, though Paul had done a good job, there was more to do. So you must also bear witness at Rome, was Paul's next assignment. The greatest words of a faithful child of God can hear are, "There is more for you to do." Those words grieve the lazy servant, but bring joy to a faithful servant. It can be said to every child of God, "There is more for you to do, more people to bring to Christ, more ways for you to glorify him, more people to pray with, more humble ways to serve his people, more hungry to feed, more naked to clothe, more weary saints for you to encourage." Paul could be cheerful because God often does his best work under bad times. Saints of God can be cheerful because after bad times, God can bless you. The best is yet to come. Stay with the Lord. Rejoice. You have got the victory. It may seem dark, but stay with the Lord. You may not see your way out, but stay with the Lord. Victory is coming. When the Lord is on your side, you can be of good cheer. Look at Job. He lost all he had. Then God blessed him double. If you stay with the Lord, he will bless you. The reason I know is because he keeps blessing me. I have joy because of God. I can make it because God is up by my side. Even in bad times, I can smile because God will make things right. Torrential storms and a rising ocean are eating away at California. Palm trees are falling and multi-million dollar homes are teetering. The state's turbulent weather is only growing more extreme thanks to climate change. February 23rd, 2024 by Liz Krutz and Evan Bush. 2 years ago, 100% of the state was mired in drought and desperately in need of rainfall, according to the National Drought Monitor. Now, just tiny pockets of the state, 7% in all, are considered abnormally dry, and residents are pleading for mercy from torrential rains. The shift began last winter when more than a dozen atmospheric rivers pounded the state with precipitation, relieving the drought and saturating the state's hillsides with moisture. This year, the extremes have only continued. This month, downtown Los Angeles has recorded more than 12.5 inches of rainfall, four times its typical monthly average, and almost twice as much rain as what fell in all of 2022. The rainfall has pushed some slopes to the brink, making landslides more likely. During the most recent storm, the city of Los Angeles said it had received 63 reports of debris, flows, or mudslides. After a more severe storm earlier this month, the city said it had received calls for service for 592 mudslides. At least 16 buildings had been red tagged, meaning that people were disallowed from entering because of the risk. When you have this constant barrage of storms, you will most likely build up water in the slopes, and that increases your chances of slides, said Nate Oderdonk, a professor and geomorphologist at California State University, Long Beach. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is focus. If you have ever flown in an airplane, you know that your perspective of the earth is far different from what it was when you were on the ground. This is the kind of perspective God wants to give us concerning our lives. As we focus on God, instead of ourselves and our circumstances, our perspectives change. By focus, we mean prioritizing your relationship with God by setting spiritual goals for yourself. Things like spending more time with God, studying the Word of God, praying, praising, and living according to the Word. Don't get bogged down in the circumstances of life. At the moment, we see only our immediate problems and burdens, but God sees the whole. He sees the present and the future. He wants to lift us above ourselves. He wants us to focus on everything in light of His plans. Psalms 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." Keep your heart, mind, and soul on God because He sees the whole picture and He knows what is best for you. You can trust Him because He loves you. Remember, we have all violated God's divine law and fall short of His glory. Yet, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first. Trust and obey His word, and focus on carrying out God's plan for your life.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey.